Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, where the winter sale is now on with up to 50% off. Get great savings on runners and leisure wear in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Good evening and welcome along to this week's episode of The Score here on Highland Radio. I am your host, Mark Gallagher, and we have a lot to get through on the show between now and 8 o'clock. We'll be speaking with Donegal All-Ireland winner from 2012, Ryan Bradley, for a chat about Donegal's clash with Galway in the National Football League Division 1 this Sunday. We'll also be hearing about this weekend's GAA Congress being held here in the county. It's a big weekend on the athletics calendar as the National Senior Indoor Championships are taking place. We'll hear from our athletics correspondent, Patsy McGonigal, to get the rundown on who we'll be keeping an eye on from a Northwestern perspective. And in junior soccer, it's a big weekend for the Donegal Oscar trainer side. We'll hear from manager Eamon Sheridan ahead of their quarter-final clash with Mayo on Sunday. But firstly, we will begin tonight's show with our weekly League of Ireland chat as the new season got underway last Friday. Derry City and Finn Harps go in search of their first wins of the new season tomorrow night. Harps were beaten 2-0 in Kerry in their league opener in the First Division, while Derry City lost 3-1 to Premier Division champion Shelburne at Tolka Park. To look ahead to tomorrow night's action, Highland's Oisin Kelly spoke to former Finn Harps manager Anthony Gorman.
Anthony, welcome back to the airwaves of Highland. It's been a while since me and you've been talking, so it's good to catch up again.
Yeah, it's good to talk. Oisin, it's nice now to look forward to. We have a new League of Ireland season ahead of us, and there's a lot of excitement after the finale of last season, and the way that the league's been promoted this last while. So a lot of excitement going into the first game last week.
Yeah, and it was a first game that didn't work out for Harps, and I suppose given what their plans are for the future, and they're very much focusing on the stadium, this does have an effect on the squad, very much going with youth and maybe an experience and adding the long travel to Kerry. Turned out to be a difficult enough start for them.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's the way that the season's going to be for Finn Harps. This is probably one of the most difficult periods in the club's history. It's certainly the youngest squad in their history. I think out of the squad of players, I think there's maybe 14 players that they have under 21. I think six or seven of them boys are 18 and under. Budget-wise, you're probably looking at the bottom two clubs in the league, along with probably Longford Town. You look at the players that they've lost since last season, like the goalkeeper, Heimer. Success, obviously, up front. Watson, the right back. Noah Baba. Ryan Rainey's gone. Makinson's gone. Luke O'Brien's gone. Like, that's a lot of players that came in last season and did really well for Darren Murphy, Oisin. And that's the problem with Finn Harps is when they get players in and they do well, there's always going to be a more attractive option. And unfortunately for Finn Harps, and not just with Darren Murphy, certainly with Ollie Horgan as well. Ollie did really well in the transfer market, signed a lot of players, and after one season they were moving on. And financially and geographically, everything's against Finn Harps when you have the bigger boys coming knocking on for them. But it's going to be a difficult season for Finn Harps, and I was in no way surprised that they went to Kerry, who, by the way, have improved dramatically since they came into the league. Now this is their third season in the League of Ireland. So, and along with the likes of Athlone, Cove and Treaty, Kerry have also had a lot of investment, from people outside the club. So all that adds up to just a difficult season ahead for Finn Harps.
Yeah. Is it too much to ask for Harps to finish top half of the table and get under them playoffs?
I think so. I think last season I thought Finn Harps did exceptionally well with what they had. They were pushing. They had a brilliant start to the season last year. I remember watching them a few times and going away to Longford and won on opening day, and playing the week after, maybe playing a much fancied Athlone team and beating them comfortably at Finn Park. And they had a really good and bright start to the season last year, and all throughout the season, like, they were pushing for the playoffs. And a lot of credit should have went to the backroom team at that time. because they were certainly punching a wee bit above their weight. But, you know, success for Finn Harps this season will to be competitive in the games that they play, Oisin. You know, they've a really difficult game this Friday night against Dundalk, you know, who are a full-time club. They've just been relegated, you know, after probably coming out of the most successful period in the club's history with the league titles that they won, with the success they had in Europe, you know, and that, you know, after a couple of bad seasons, then they find themselves in the first division. So I think for Finn Harps to be challenging and pushing towards playoff positions this season, it'll be a massive achievement for them. But as I said, I think the biggest achievement for them this year will be to be competitive in the games that they're playing.
Yeah. Well, can they be competitive on Friday night, going by what you've said already? Like, would a draw be a good enough result against Dundalk, or is this squad good enough to beat Dundalk? Like, it's start of the season stuff here as well, aren't they?
Yeah. On paper, you know, you just think not a chance. They don't have a hope, but like, a game of football has never been won on a piece of paper, I think. The one thing you'll be sure about Finn Harps is that they'll be very well organised. You know, Darren Murphy leaves nothing to the chance. Darren deserves an awful lot of credit, you know, for putting this team together. He's worked extremely hard in the off season to put the team together, and he's happy with what he's got. You know, obviously, he's bringing players through. You know, the likes of young Gavin McAteer, who's a real bright spark. Young Cooney, the goalkeeper, another bright spark. You know, their players are getting invaluable experience, and you know, added that, like, the experience of the likes of Keith Cowan in the brain, because he's our player, and you know, but you know, Connor Turris, who's you know, a very experienced player, and a player like Connor Turris is vital in terms of galvanizing the younger players around him with his experience and his ability.
So the other games: Wexford against Longford, Cove Ramblers play Kerry, Bray Wanderers against UCD, Athlone Town against Treaty United. Those are the first division games that are taking place on Friday night. Moving on to the Premier Division on Friday, Derry City against Bohemians. Derry will be looking for a bounce back after losing to the champion Shelburne last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, as I said before, like, there was a lot of excitement going to the opening league of the season last weekend. And no more so than the Derry Shelburne game, you know, the last game of last season, where Shells went to Brandywell and won the league, and, you know, the two teams were neck and neck, and it's just the way they were pitted against each other for the first game of the season. But as it turned out, it wasn't much of a contest at all. Shelburne just blew Derry out of the water with their performance. Shelburne were excellent. They've certainly improved on what they were last season. Derry, on the other hand, Oisin, were very, very disappointing. You know, with a new manager and new players, probably the only positives Derry can take out of the game is probably the performance of Ronan Boyce and maybe Shane Ferguson, who did reasonably well at fullback. But, you know, they were at sixes and sevens, Oisin. They were very disappointing. And I know it's a new team, and it's, you know, a lot of new players, but at the same time, there's a lot of experience in that team, and they should have been much better in terms of staying in the game as long as they could, because to go down to Dublin and go in at half time 3-1 down, like, it's certainly not what Tiernan Lynch would have envisaged for his opening fixture.
Yeah, and they're playing a team this weekend that beat Shamrock Rovers last week.
Exactly. You know, you look at the fixtures in the League of Ireland, especially the Premier Division this weekend, and, you know, Drogheda, Sligo, Galway against Pats, Waterford, Shells, Derry, Bowes. You couldn't call out a result, because they're so tight. The games are so tight. Probably the game you look at, Shamrock Rovers against Cork, you probably think, well, Rovers will have too much for Cork. But I'm sure a lot of people thought that last week when they took on Bohemians at the Aviva, and Bowes were exceptional by all accounts. You know, new signings and pace and power in the team, and give Shamrock Rovers all they wanted. So it's going to be an exciting weekend ahead.
Yeah, I see Shells as well have added a young Liverpool midfielder, to their squad. So they're bulking up as well, Shelburne. They added a few during the summer as well. Would they be seen as the title favourites, or is it a case of wait to see how Rovers are going to do? And now we've added the mix, into the mix Bohemians, and there's some Pats there as well. So where do you see it, Anthony?
I think looking at the league, and you know, after 1 week, it's very difficult to tell. But obviously, we look at the tail end of last season, and you know, from June through to the end of the season, both Derry City and Shells, you know, struggled to win games of football. Actually, it was only in the last number of weeks that Shells put a couple of victories together that actually took them over the line. On the other side of that, then, you had Shamrock Rovers, who were competing in Europe and were inconsistent, but were always, they just lost the league in the last day. Pats under Stephen Kenny went on an unbelievable run towards the end of the season. And, you know, I think everybody believes that if Pats had another two or three games, they would have won the league. So you're looking at this season, Pats certainly will improve. Rovers will be better. Shells, we can see from last week's performance, have definitely improved. But, you know, given the backing and the money that Rovers have, it's very difficult to look past Shamrock Rovers. But I do think it'll be between Rovers, Pats and Shells. And will be tight. It'll be very tight. The one thing about Shelburne, and what has really impressed me about Shelburne and Damien Duff in particular, is that he gets the maximum from his players. You know, his scouting is excellent. He's getting players that, you know, even towards the tail end of last season, like he got an Aidan O'Brien to help them over the line from England. And, you know, while he couldn't hold on to him, he did enough during that time, like to help Shells over the line. So Damien Duff will certainly get the maximum from the players. Rovers and Pats, you would expect, would have the better squads if that's the way you want to look at it in terms of finance and size of squads. But I do think it'll be a three-horse race between them three.
Okay. Just finally, we'll move away from the senior ranks and go to the Oscar Trainer Trophy competition. Big game for Donegal coming up on Sunday at the Diamond Park in Ballyar. They're playing the Mayo League in the quarter-final. There's a good feel about this current Donegal Junior League group, so there is, Anthony. And listen, they're in with a very good shout at making a semi-final. What's your thoughts on the squad that's there? And I suppose, straight to the question, would they be a good enough squad to go all the way this year?
I think they certainly do have the players at their disposal, Ashton. They went very close last year, losing out in the semi-final to Waterford. 3-2, having led the semi-final twice during that game. This year, you know, we mentioned Keith Cowan earlier, inadvertently, but, you know, Cowan's come into the squad, Gareth Harkin's come into the squad, you know, and in a tournament like this, the experience of players like that with League of Ireland experience and, you know, that sort of experience is vital. Add into that, like, the players from last year, like Lee McMonigal, Banda comes into that reckoning as well. Jack Park comes back into that, having been away from Donegal football for a while. You know, it does look as if Donegal have a really good chance. And obviously, the way the football has gone in Donegal over the last number of years with the, you know, the collapse of the Ulster Senior League and, you know, them players in particular, like the Letterkenny Rovers, the Donegal, the Fannin players, you know, they are now all eligible to play for the Donegal League, whereas before they wouldn't have been. So all that has added to the chances of the Donegal team being successful.
Yeah. Keith Cowan will be delighted that you mentioned him not once but twice in the piece. So
just before I was planning training for tomorrow night trying to manage him here.
Listen, hey, Anthony, thanks for joining us, and we'll be speaking to you over the coming weeks again.
Ashton, thanks, William. Great to talk to you. Thank you.
Former Finn Harps manager Anthony Gorman in conversation with Oisin Kelly. Jeremy Doherty will be providing live updates here on Highland from Harps clash with Dundalk tomorrow night. Kickoff is at 7:45. Now, sticking with soccer, and it is quarter-final weekend in the Oscar Trainer Trophy. Having beaten Inishowen on penalties in the previous round, the Donegal League will face Mayo in the last eight this coming Sunday. And we're now joined on the programme by Donegal Oscar Trainer manager Eamon Sheridan. Eamon, good evening and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks.
Well, we're well into the Oscar Trainer season now, and you have a quarter final to look forward to this weekend. It'll be another big occasion at Ballyaran Sunday, Eamon.
Oh, it certainly will. Yeah, it's Mayo. They're a very strong team. They were beaten the final last year, and they were unlucky to be beat. We got footage of it, and they were very impressive, I have to say now.
Would you say the stakes have been raised a bit since getting over the hurdle of Inishowen? I mean, there must have been a wee bit of relief coming through that one, and now it's down to the nitty-gritty of the competition, if you like.
I suppose, well, we knew that we kind of hoped either of us, ourselves or Inishowen went through, that we'd give it a rattle. Like, but it's when you, like, I'm one for one step at a time, and then when we got through that, we started looking at Mayo. They've some serious good players. Like, we know it's going to be another tight challenge, but we're home. Nothing else you can ask for. Once you're home, that's all you can ask for, really. So we'll have to prepare the best we can and give it a go. Like, we've quite a bit of information on Mayo at this stage. There's some serious players there. Jordan Loftus, who you would have played with Finn Harps there a few years ago, he's with them as well. Jason Hunt. There's plenty of names I could name, but they've some very good players as well. Like, but we have plenty of good players ourselves.
Beaten finalists last year, they're going to be strong. Regarding your own squad, you've probably lost a couple of players to Finn Harps in recent weeks with Joel Bradley Walsh and Shane O'Gara making the move. How has that affected things?
Not too bad now. We're fairly strong, but we also lost two others from the start of the season too, from Paddy McGarvey and Aidan Brennan, who went to Ballinamallar. They're always going to senior football, so all you do is wish them well. The guys were brought in, the likes of Mark McGinley's back involved. Like, Mark wasn't available first round of games because he got married now. And with Michael Lynch in there now as well, and with the two Kelly Beggs boys in, Ryan Cunningham and Audrin McGinnis, who have been excellent. They played friendlies and training. They've just been excellent from the get-go, which is really positive for us. I wouldn't say we're any weaker at all, to be honest with you. There's a few players, like the Fannett men, had a very big game there the weekend. Some of them a bit sore, and a couple of the Kenny boys sore, but a few knocks here and there, but hopefully come Sunday we'll be okay. Like.
So safe to say you're happy enough with where the squad is at now, heading into the latter stages of the competition?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I'm very happy now. All these guys want to be here, like, and that's like they're turning up for us all the time, so that's all you can ask for. We've got in Dean McCarry there as well from Leonard Kenny. Dean hadn't been around because of Dublin commitments, but we had to make allowances because of losing a few players. Plus, Dean made a commitment then to come up midweek for a game, and he's available this week for training and everything. So he's a very committed player, so and a big plus to have around as well.
And it is, of course, the Mayo League this Sunday. You mentioned earlier beaten finalists in last year's competition. I suppose knowing that they're going to bring a tough challenge makes your task a wee bit easier, that you have to just prepare for, you know, a really strong side coming to Ballyhale on Sunday.
Oh, well, that's it. When you get this far, I know you don't expect any easy games. Like, so, as I said, they're Mayo, they're pretty big, strong men. Although the two of their teams in the FAI were beat at the weekend there, you might think it could be a blessing for them. All of a sudden now they've got all their eggs in one basket. The players that they have, like, they have seven players in Castlebar alone. So they'll probably put all their eggs in one basket and give this a right rattling Sunday.
You're such a fan of there. They've had a great run in the FA Junior Cup. Home advantage has been so important for them in the past couple of outings. That could be very important for you on Sunday as well.
Oh, definitely. Like, same as the FAA Junior. Like, there's not much between these teams, but when you get the home advantage, you just have to you've got to make it pay. And Fannett have been doing that. And another home draw, fair play to them now against FAA or Fairview Rangers. So it's as I say, once you're home, take the costs and everything else out, along with the travel and everything else. Like, sometimes people just can't give that commitment to travel. So we're at home. We'll have everybody we want available. So all we can do is give it a go. And we're not expecting. We know it's going to be a very hard game, like. But I think we're more than capable of it as well.
Yeah, and fresh legs and fresh mind could make a big difference. And you'll be hoping to get another big crowd out to support the boys on Sunday. That always helps.
Oh, definitely. I know the Donegal League. There's no fixtures this week. Well, on the Premier Division anyway. So, like, it's important. Like, it's a chance to promote Donegal soccer, and I just think everything should be done possible to do this at all times. Like, you know, you're representing your county. And sometimes I don't think it's been pushed enough. I'm only seeing that myself now on the inside. But in fairness to the Donegal League, they've called off the Sunday games, the Premier Division games this week. and it gives people an opportunity to come and watch the game if they want to come.
Yeah, you'll have a clear run at it, and you'll be confident that you can get through the test, even though it is a tough game ahead. These big knockout games, anything can happen. Keeping a cool head will be important on Sunday, no doubt.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, discipline's key. Like, you need your 11 men on the pitch, and as I say, it's a matter of staying in the game and see how we go. Like there won't be much in it. Like, it's always, at this level, it's always a bounce of the ball here and there. Get the wee breaks and take your chances, maybe, or whatever. That's what it comes down to.
And lastly for me, Eamon, we touched a lot on the squad there, but do you have any injury concerns or any niggles heading into the weekend that you're not sure about yet?
There's a few niggles there with a few of the players, but we don't think it's anything that's going to keep them out. We let them step out of training on Tuesday. They may not train tonight either, but hopefully they'll be okay for Sunday.
Eamon, thanks very much for joining us on the programme, and best of luck on Sunday, all right?
Thank you. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, big game for the Donegal League on Sunday, and we will have live updates from that clash in Ballyar. Dermot Doherty will be at Diamond Park from 2 o'clock. Now it is time for a short break. When we come back, we'll be focusing on Gaelic games.
Highland Sport, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, stocking the ultimate running shoe to take you through winter. The ASICS Gel Cumulus 26 GTX. With waterproof Gore-Tex technology, these shoes will keep your feet dry and cushioned mile after mile.
Welcome back to the programme. Well, the GAA's annual Congress got up and running at the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town today. The event is being hosted by Donegal GAA for the first time in nearly 40 years. The official opening is on Friday evening, but today was based around World GAA Day, with officials from right across the globe discussing important matters in Gaelic games. With more on Congress returning to the county, we can now go over to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Mark. Almost 400 people are attending the GAA Annual Congress this week in Donegal Town. It's just the third time that Congress has come to the county, and a first since 1988. The event started today with World GAA Day, as delegates from boards of the various continents discussed the growth of the association across the globe. Tomorrow afternoon, Friday, there will be a number of workshops before the official opening at 7:30. Here's Sean Dunyan, the county's Central Council delegate and chair of the local organising committee.
It's a brilliant opportunity for us. It's a brilliant opportunity for the county. And I suppose we're working very closely with the County Council in Fáilte, Ireland, to promote the county. So it's not just about the event on Thursday, Friday and Saturday. We see it as a great opportunity to showcase the county. And there's delegates coming, not alone from all over the country, but all the units across the world are going to be represented here at the weekend, from Europe, Australasia, US, Asia, Canada, Middle East, and New York, to mention a few. So a huge event, over 320 delegates, and then supported by Croke Park staff, the media, over about 450 people come to Donegal Town at the weekend.
Saturday is the day that delegates will discuss and vote on around 40 proposed motions. The main motion, which is number 19, involves the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship structure, reverting back to more of a knockout style in place of the current round-robin groups. Currently, three teams qualify from groups of four, but the new proposal put forward by the GAA's Central Competitions Control Committee would see the eight provincial finalists, plus the next seven best league-ranked teams, and the winner of the Talton Cup for the opening round of the championship, going for the Sam Maguire Cup. The winners advance to round 2A, where they will face off against each other and provide four teams for the quarterfinals. First round losers advance to 2B, producing four winners who will face the losers from 2A, with the winners then making up the rest of the quarterfinal places. Among the other motions is Motion 12, which would see players only eligible for inter-county play if they have already togged out in four competitive league games for their club in the same calendar year. Replays for finals could also be introduced. The CCCC are looking to have replays for provincial finals after extra time, with penalties only after extra time in a replay, and the All-Ireland finals to go to a replay after 70 minutes. Other big motions in play include allowing GAA clubs to make decisions on whether to open their facilities to other sports and groups, and all clubs to have underage hurling teams. The Congress starts officially tomorrow, Friday at 7:30, and is set to conclude at around 4:30 on Saturday afternoon. Back to you, Mark.
Thank you very much, Oisin. Well, staying with Gaelic games, but turning to matters on the pitch, and Donegal are back in action this weekend in the Allianz National Football League Division 1. Jim McGuinness' side will go in search of their fourth win in four games as they take on Galway, who are the only other unbeaten team left in the league. To look ahead to Sunday's fixture, Oisin caught up with 2012 All-Ireland winner Ryan Bradley.
So, Ryan Bradley, 2012 All-Ireland winner, thanks for joining us on the Score programme tonight. How are you doing?
All good, Oisin. Doing very well, thank you.
Good man. Are you enjoying the football at the moment, Ryan?
I am, actually. You know, it's these new rules is actually making the game a bit more attacking-minded, you know, and less defensive football. So I think it is more exciting to watch compared to the last few years, definitely.
Yeah. Listen, there's lots of people talking about various different things, and I suppose the goalkeeper role is one of them. Some people think they should keep it. Others, the goalkeeper should be playing as a goalkeeper. What's your take on it, Ryan?
I do think it's a wee bit of an unfair advantage when you're expecting your own three forwards to stay inside and you're having an overlap of a keeper. I don't know if you see what Derry's doing. They're bringing out an outfield player in the net, you know, and I think it is an unfair advantage on teams. So I think they're going to have to try and change or tweak that rule a little bit, you know, maybe keep the goalkeeper inside his own half or something like that. But I think there's a lot of uproar about it, and I think most people want to see it changed.
Overall, you'd be happy enough with the rules and I suppose the direction that the FRC is taking with them?
Definitely. I think it is making it a more exciting game, and you've seen with the score lines on the league game so far, it is most games is high scoring games and attacking football. And I think, you know, you see on social media, and it seems to be everybody's kind of quite happy with the new rules.
And obviously these rules are sitting Donegal. Listen, they're playing fantastically at the start of the season, and all bodes well for the weeks ahead. But they've beat three All-Ireland champions now in their opening three matches. And McCool Park was literally on fire last week. What, 13,000 there? The return of Michael Murphy was one of those memorable occasions. And it's all boding well at the moment for Jim McGuinness's side.
Yeah, they're going very well, and they seem to have an extra gear in them every time when they're under pressure. They seem to be able to step it up, that extra gear, and tag on them a couple of points to stay ahead. They seem to be a lot sharper at the minute compared to the other teams, and that was great seeing Michael coming back the other day. What a lift to the supporters seeing him come on, and for even the new players on the squad training alongside Michael Murphy, it must be some buzz for them. Must lift everybody 10 or 15%.
Yeah. And I think Michael's reappearance, the second coming of Michael for Donegal last week, it sort of overshadowed the performance of Patrick McBertie, who was deservingly given the Man of the Match award and kicked 6 points, 5 from play. You've obviously played alongside both of these players, and even at the age they're at, they're still making huge contributions here, and particularly Patrick last weekend.
Yeah, I thought Patrick was back to his best last weekend. He was outstanding. His kicking and forward play. He was back to the Patrick of a few years ago. It was great to see him. Long may that continue. Yeah. And with Michael coming in now, it's going to be a lot of competition for places, which will only be a good thing.
Yeah. Your own Buncranaman's going well. Keelan McGonigal. Jim McGuinness moved him to the number 6 last year, and a lot of people were thinking, right, Jim sees something here that none of the rest of us are seeing. And it's turned out to be a very good move, and there's no doubt that Keelan is playing some of the best football of his life last year and at the start of this year as well.
Yeah, I never seen that coming myself, actually, but Jim's seen something there, and it's worked out brilliantly. He's playing out unbelievable football. He's shoring up that defence well, and he's helping move off from defence to attack very quick, you know, and it's great to see. It's great to see my own club mate playing so well and getting all the plaudits that he deserves at the minute.
And from an any shown football point of view, it's huge as well. So it is, Ryan. Obviously, yourself and Declan were involved back when you won the All-Ireland in 2012, but now you've got the likes of Keelan in there. You've young Keelan McColgan from Muff won getting to an All-Ireland final. It seems to be that there's a real buzz about any shown football at the minute.
Yeah, there is. There's a massive buzz, and especially when you see, you know, there's players playing down. Conor O'Donnell, I thought, was a very good game last weekend also. I thought he was very good at number 11. And Keelan had a great run with Muff, and I'm sure he's ready to go back into the Donegal panel now and get a chance again. That's great to see. It gives great interest to any show, and hopefully more young people will be watching the games and aspire to be like the lads on the panel, you know.
Yeah, Conor O'Donnell is a serious engine on him. If you can go back to your prime, Ryan, Well, playing these new rules suit you? Asked the same question to Eamon McGee last week, and he sort of says, well, Oisin Meagher would be telling me yes, that I would be able for it. When Ryan Bradley was in his prime, would you be able for these new rules and the pace of the game, Ryan? Because it's ramped up, so it's very, very quick and pacey.
The new rules, but the pace of the game, I was never the fastest, but probably my ego would say too, like Eamon, I think I would try and make it work somehow, you know.
Yeah. So listen, Galway is the opposition this weekend. It's fair to say the two teams are meeting in Pearce Stadium in Galway, and they've been probably the two best teams in the league to date. So it's going to be an interesting encounter at the weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I watched the Galway and Derry game last weekend also, and Galway probably did throw it away at the end. But their main players are back on form again. Shane Walsh and Paul Conroy and Dylan McHugh, they're going very well. And Sean Kelly seems to back up the speed, you know, and they are the two form teams in the league at the minute. But it'll be interesting to see if the two teams will play us at their full hand this weekend. You know, it's kind of, maybe it could be a bit of mind games, maybe not playing full strength, but it'll be interesting to see. But it'll be a tough game now down in Pearce Stadium. A tough place to go to try and get 2 points, but Donegal definitely have no fear. Go down there and there'll be no reason why they can't take 2 points home.
Would you expect Jim McGuinness maybe to make a raft of changes given the fact that Donegal have 6 points? They're safe in the division. They're sitting top of the table. They have a very, very busy period come up in the lead up to the preliminary round of the championship. So it's about managing the squad now. And you've played under teams with Jim and how he's his management style and how he looks after players and how he looks after his squad. It wouldn't be that big a surprise, would it, Ryan, if there's maybe 4, 5, 6 changes been made for this game this weekend? Now, we could be totally wrong here, but it wouldn't be a major surprise, would it?
No, it wouldn't be a surprise, but he always wants to win games also, you know. That's the number one thing. He always wants to win games. But with that schedule coming up, you'd think that he'd try and rest the older players on the squad, you know, and the boys that are played the 3 games so far, you'd think there'd be a few changes to try new players in, you know. So it's a tricky one. It's hard to know. Donegal still want to go there and win the game. But as you say, there's a busy schedule coming up. So it'll be quite interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, there is a break now for Donegal coming up after the Derry game, which is the 2nd of March. There's a week break. And then you're into Tyrone, Mayo. If you make a league final, it's the following week. And then the following week's the start of the championship. Is the league final that something maybe Donegal would want to contest, given it's only 7 days before their preliminary round and championship, the championship opener against Derry?
Personally, I think it'd be better working on your game plan and training than playing that game. You know, so Derry is going to be a massive game for Donegal, and I would think I would rather be on the pitch working on our game plan, how to beat Derry, than playing in a league final, you know, 7 days out before the championship. But that'd be my personal opinion, you know.
Yeah. We'll leave the decision down to Jim McGuinness and his management team. Listen, just finally finally then, Ryan, just call the game on Sunday. How do you think it's going to pan out?
Donegal by 2 points. I think Donegal should have enough. You know, I think they mightn't go full strength, but I think they might have enough to sneak 2 points, you know. Nice. And that would maybe give them a chance then for the remainder games just to sit back and relax, you know, maybe try out different things. That'd be my thoughts on it.
Okay, and a couple of big performances from a couple of unshown men again.
Hopefully.
Listen, Ryan, delighted that you joined us. Many thanks for talking to us, and I'm sure we'll catch up along the way again. Enjoy the football at the weekend.
My pleasure, Oisin. Thank you. Nice to talk to you.
That is Ryan Bradley, All-Ireland winner with Donegal in 2012, and he's chatting with Highlands' Oisin Kelly. And Oisin will be in Galway on Sunday afternoon. He'll be bringing us live match commentary of the game alongside Brendan Devaney from the 3:45 throw-in at Pearce Stadium. Elsewhere in Division 1 on Sunday afternoon, Tyrone and Kerry will go head-to-head at Healy Park in Omagh from 2:45, with both sides looking for their second wins of the campaign. There are also 2 games on Saturday in Division 1. Armagh host Mayo at 5 o'clock, and Derry, the only side that remain without a win in the division, are in Croke Park to take on the Dubs from 7:30. On the hurling front this weekend, a bit of history will be made on Sunday afternoon, as for the first time ever, Donegal will welcome Kerry to O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny in Division 2 of the National Hurling League. Chris Ashmore will be at that one providing updates, and that game gets underway at 1 o'clock. Also in Division 2, Derry play Kildare on Saturday at 3, while there is no game for the Tyrone Hurlers this weekend. The Donegal Ladies will go on the hunt for their second win of their Ladies National Football League Division 2 campaign on Sunday when they go to Roscommon. James Daly's team pipped Monaghan last time out with a goal in the dying seconds to snatch the win, having drawn their opening two fixtures against Clare and Westmeath. In the Ulster LGFA Minor Championship, Donegal faced Derry and Killybegs on Sunday. That one has a 2 o'clock throw-in. Now it is time to turn our attention to athletics, and it is a huge weekend on the calendar as the National Senior Indoor Athletics Championships will be held at the National Indoor Stadium, with the best of the best going head-to-head in Dublin. And I'm delighted to say that joining me on the line now is our athletics correspondent, Patsy McGonigal. Patsy, do you mind telling us a wee bit more about this competition and the kind of athletes that will be competing at it?
Well, really, it's a national senior competition, obviously, by its very name indicates. It's a big one. It's the actual, the big one each year, obviously, national senior outdoor, national senior indoor. We're in the indoor period right now, and all the leading Irish athletes will be in competition. Not only that, but, you know, there is a European Indoor Championships upcoming now next month. So people will be looking for selection for that. And that's in Holland and Apeldoorn. So there's a lot of attention geared on this indoor. It's, as I say, it's the big one. It's the big one. People have been around Europe and the US and different places, you know, racing and making qualification and different things. But this is all about titles and about selection, really, for European championships.
Yeah, and from a Donegal perspective, I suppose we have to start with, you know, the somewhat disappointing news that Mark English hasn't made it. What was the story with Mark? I'm sure he'll be disappointed not to be heading to the indoors.
Oh, absolutely. There's a bit of a doubt over Mark, obviously. A bit of a doubt over Mark. So that's a big, it's a problem, but it's just been cautious, obviously. And, all indications are that he's been cautious. So, you know, he'll recover from this and, he'll get treatment, and he has qualified for the European Championships. He's one of the few Irish athletes that automatically qualifies for the Europeans. So he has that, he already has that achievement under his belt. So he has no worries in terms of selection.
And plenty of other Northwest athletes in the mix for medals at the weekend. I'll just go through a few of them now. John Kelly in the shot put, he's in with a good shout.
Well, John Kelly's in with a good shout of a medal. You know, he's just coming back into competition. He competed last weekend in Gothenburg. He threw 17:23. He's just coming back. He was injured for over 12 months there, but it's great to see him back. You know, he's a former national senior champion. He's an athlete who competed at world championship level and so on. So he's an elite athlete. And from a Donegal perspective, it's great to have him back. And, you know, no doubt he'll pick up a medal. But it's going to take him another month or two or three to get into the swing of it to be pushing for number one, because there's a US-based guy called Eric Favors who's just thrown over 20 metres at the moment. I don't anticipate John throwing 20 metres plus just now, but John certainly will chase a medal, yes.
And on the track, a couple of track athletes that will certainly be in with a good chance at the weekend. Roisin Flanagan, she's in the 3,000 metres, and Arlene Crossan of the 400 metres.
Well, Aaron is back after a period two, and she's been training really, really hard, and she's in the 400 metres. She competed in the Connacht Open Championships last weekend. She won that easily. The competition wasn't great, but she had a good run out, 55 plus, and she's in the 400 metres. Kelly McGrory is also in that 400 metres, and of course the attention there is about making the Irish 4x4 relay team. Kelly has been on that team previously, and you know, obviously at the Olympics and at the World Championships, so she'd be very anxious to nail her place down on the team. Arlene, yes, she's in the 400. They'll all be looking through Saturday to make the final on Sunday, and then Roisin Flanagan, yes, she's the 3,000 metres, as is Amy Green, as Ailish Flanagan has also entered the three, but she's a bit of a slight injury and she'll not run now. But certainly Amy Green and I expect Roisin to chase a medal as well.
And a couple of talented jumpers coming from this neck of the woods these days. The likes of Lauren Callaghan and Summer Leckie. Lauren Callaghan, of course, is in the long jump, Summer Leckie in the high jump. Both of those will fancy their chances come the weekend.
Summer's really in a very, very competitive high jump. She has a 175 this year, season's best. There is another girl there with a 185 season's best. But Summer Leckie has won this title before on numerous occasions, both outdoors and indoors. So she's mentally a strong athlete. So she'll be going in there with a view to winning it. And Lauren Callaghan. Lauren Callaghan finished second in the National Senior Long Jump last year with a 602. She has a 616. From a meet in Loughborough a couple of weeks ago, so she'll be actually chasing the title. And you know, there's a girl called Sarah Buggy, so it should be down to the two of them to battle it out. But it'd be mighty if Lauren were to get that national title. So, and she's well capable of doing.
Yeah, well capable indeed. And Bridget McDyer, she's going in the weight for distance event. She'll be looking to get in amongst the medals as well.
She has never got in the medals before. You know, she's been close and she's gone through the rounds in a medal position, but never tossed down to a medal. But she finished fourth on numerous occasions. Her winter training has gone well, so she has a possibility to pick up a medal. And she, Bridget's from the Rosses. She's a really, really dedicated athlete, and we wish her well as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and from a Northwest point of view, anybody else we should be keeping an eye on at the weekend, Patsy?
No, not really. Not in terms of any medal possibilities, but you know, all those Finn Valley ones plus Kelly McGrory, that's where the attention will be. So we'll have to wait and see now what way that all breaks down. But it's going to be an exciting weekend. If anybody wants to watch it, it's been streamed. It's been streamed live on YouTube and Athletics Ireland YouTube.
Well, we'll be touching base with you over the weekend, Patsy, and thanks very much for joining us here on The Score. All right?
No bother, Mark. No bother, sir. All the best. Bye bye.
Yeah, thanks very much to Patsy for that great insight regarding the National Senior Indoor Athletics Championships taking place this weekend. As always, we'll have Patsy on over the weekend to keep us up to date with everything that's happening there. Finally, on tonight's show, we'll go to motorsport. The Donegal Motor Club will host their awards night for the 2024 Donegal Commercial Vehicles Club Championship this Saturday, the 22nd of February. The awards will take place in the St Union's GAA Clubhouse in Letterkenny. There will be various awards on the night for the championship and volunteers, marking another successful year for rallying here within the county. The event starts at 7:30. Well, that is it for another episode of The Score. I have been your host, Mark Gallagher, and as always, if you missed anything from tonight's programme, you will be able to catch it shortly over on our website at highlandvideo.com. That's all for me. Have a great weekend.